Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 24th, 2009, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, the many sides to face detection. Well, welcome back to another show. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, in part because I was working on that title for lynda.com, 10 Things You Need to Know About Faces in iPhoto 09, and it just sort of got me going down this path. Now, of course, I've been interested in face detection since it showed up on the capture side of the equation. And that's really the two places we're seeing it now. We have it on capture, and then we have it in software on the computer. On capture, in a digital camera, it came out a couple years ago. At first, I was skeptical, and then I was won over, because what it does, and it does it quite well, is that it seeks out faces in a composition, and it sets both focus and exposure for those faces. Very helpful, and especially helpful with flash photography, where we tend to get overexposed people because we're in a darkened environment and the flash is trying to light up the whole room, and all we want is the person lit properly, and face detection helps a lot with that. Now, we have face detection on almost all of our compact cameras these days, and we're seeing it more and more on digital SLRs, in part because more and more digital SLRs have live view. And, you know, where you can look at your image and compose your image on the LCD instead of through the optical viewfinder. And you need live view in order to gauge if face detection is working the way that you want it to. You can't see face detection through an optical viewfinder, but you certainly can see it on your LCD. So digital SLRs now are employing face detection. It works great on digital SLRs also. And I think it's just going to become one of those tools that we use on the capture side, just like image stabilization went that same route. And now, you know, we all take it for granted. It's such a wonderful addition to our ability to capture good photographs. And I think face detection, although maybe not as important as image stabilization on the capture side, certainly is making a name for itself, and I think is going to be something that many of us depend on for certain types of photography. Okay, great. So on the capture side, fairly straightforward. On the software side, things are a little bit more murky. There are a number of technologies, a number of applications that are using various forms of face recognition and face detection. And I'm going to run through some of them right now, some of the more common ones that you may run into, and then we'll talk a little bit about the ramifications of these applications. So there's Facebook, which is the online social community, iPhoto 09, which is on your hard drive on a Mac, Google Search, which is, you know, everywhere. Google is everywhere. I think we can just leave it right at that. And then part of Google really is Picasa, the web version of the photo management tool. And it also has face recognition and face detection built into it now. And by the way, there is a Mac version of Picasa. Google announced it at Macworld this year, or right before Macworld. So that's around. So Picasa is not only for Windows users now, it's also for Mac users too. So those are the four that I want to focus on, and they all have a little different angle to them. And I want to start with iPhoto 09, in some ways because it's the easiest to understand. You know, iPhoto 09 uses face detection and face recognition to help you organize the library that's on your computer. And in most basic terms, that's what's going on. Now, with iPhoto, you have really three different ways to organize your pictures. You have events, which has been there for a while now, and that's organizing by time captured events. So when you took the photo. Events helps you organize that way. And then you have places, which really helps you organize by where you took the photo. And then you have faces, which is the face detection and recognition. And that helps you organize by who is in the photo. And that's essentially what Apple is doing with these technologies in iPhoto. It's giving you another way to organize your albums. So as you're looking in the library pane in iPhoto, you really see that you have photos, which just shows you everything by role. And then, you know, you have events, and then you have faces, and then you have places. So these are tools for organization, and it works fairly well on people anyway. Not so good on animals, but for people, it works great. You identify a couple people. iPhoto then searches through your library. It presents you with more possibilities. You can run through and confirm or deny those. And then the next thing you know, you have a face up on a cork board, which is a kind of a cute metaphor there. You have a face on a cork board, and you click on it. And then all the photographs in your library that contain that person are available to you. And so that makes it really easy to do things like put together slideshows with certain people in them, to look, you know, research shots that have people in them, all that kind of stuff. So it's really an organizational tool in iPhoto. Now, iPhoto does interact with Facebook, which is the second tool I want to talk about that uses these technologies. And basically, what iPhoto will allow you to do is tag people using faces in your album on your hard drive. And then if you want, you can use the Facebook Connect feature in iPhoto 09 that allows you to take a series of photos in your iPhoto library, send them up to your Facebook page. They become an album on Facebook. And if those people that are in the shots are tagged via faces, then those tags are able to be read by Facebook. And Facebook has its own tagging system also. And it's been there for, I think, almost a year now. Facebook has had tagging. And it makes perfect sense for an application such as Facebook because it's all about people, right? That's what Facebook is all about. So you can tag your photos in Facebook. Other people can come in. If there are, let's say it's a group shot and there are some people that aren't tagged and, you know, some of your friends know them, then they can tag them and then you have access to those tags. It interacts with the, you know, with the friends system on Facebook. So it makes it, you know, very easy to, for instance, if I were to tag a friend I had on Facebook in a photo, that friend would get a notification that I had tagged their shot. So there's some nice things that's happening there. Now, in theory, if somebody tags a photo on Facebook that is part of my iPhoto to Facebook connection, in other words, I've set up an album that is where I'm managing a Facebook album via iPhoto, then supposedly anything that's tagged on Facebook comes back downstream to my iPhoto library and is added as a faces tag. It's a unique faces tag in that you get a little Facebook logo next to the tag so that you know that you didn't tag the shot in iPhoto, that the shot was tagged on Facebook and then fed downstream to your iPhoto library. Now, in testing, this worked sometimes and sometimes it didn't. And it could be operator error, but I did test it a lot and it only worked about half the time for me. So maybe it was just a bad iPhoto Facebook day when I was doing all this testing. However, the concept is interesting because actually then, let's say a family reunion is a perfect example. You have photos of a family reunion. You, in Faces, tag the people in the group shots that you know. You use iPhoto to send the images up to your Facebook page. And then, obviously, you're going to have family and friends in your community on Facebook. They look at the shots. They go, oh, I know who that is. That's Uncle Bob. That's Aunt Jane. They tag them. And then that information comes back down to your iPhoto library. And now you go, oh, I didn't know that was Uncle Bob and Aunt Jane. They live in Minnesota. I've never met them before. Good to know family members that I now know who they look like. So that could be good. There are some tripwires there, and I'm gonna get to that in a minute. So Facebook is another area where we're seeing face detection and face recognition put to work. Now, Google Search also has face recognition and detection as part of its group of technologies. And I'm seeing some interesting uses on that. So, for instance, there is a website called Google Portrait. And Google Portrait uses these technologies by Google. And it basically allow you to search for photos of celebrities. So if you wanted, I mean, the classic example, right, is Paris Hilton. So if you use Google Portrait to search for Paris Hilton, then it uses this image recognition technology by Google and pulls together all the photos that have been tagged Paris Hilton, or has an image that looks, you know, that matches an image that's tagged Paris Hilton. And then you get them on a page as a search result, along with the dimensions of the photo and the site that it's located at. And then you can click on that and it'll take you, and then you can see the whole photo. And what's interesting, on the website, when you get the results, it looks a lot like faces in iPhoto, in that you get a very close-up look of the face, which you know, the technology is using to identify it. And then when you go to the page, you click on the result and you go to the page, then you see the full shot of the person. And of course, you can't really tell when you're just looking at the face on the search results what the full shot's going to look like. And that could be dangerous with certain people, Paris Hilton being one of them. I didn't have any surprises, but I was thinking this could be surprising. So that's an interesting technology. And that's pervasive, right? I mean, that is really, that's going through the whole web. And Google is building a huge database of people, just like it is with everything else. Now, a Google product, their photo management tool is called Picasa. And it has a feature now in the latest version called Name Tags. And it's very similar to the organizing tool in iPhoto. And they use another technology, they call it clustering technology. And basically, you identify a person and then it uses this clustering technology to pull together all the shots in your Picasa web album that person may be in, and then you go through and say yes, no, and all that sort of stuff. And it allows you also to label many photos at once. You don't have to label the photos individually, and as does iPhoto. And then it has, of course, permission settings and all that, which I think are particularly important because, you know, Picasa has a definite web side to it. So Picasa is a web app primarily. It does allow you to manage your photos on your hard drive, but there's definitely a very strong web connection there. So we're seeing this technology in very popular applications. Facebook is wildly popular. iPhoto, very popular application, as is Picasa, as is Google Search. So these are very well-used applications, and it has this technology in it. So it seems to me then you got to make sure we think about the ramifications of this a little bit. Now, I'm not a guy that really likes to say, whoa, 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 I'm going to go into Luddite mode here and be cautious of any new technology, because I don't feel that way at all. If anything, I probably tend to err on the other side, which is I tend to embrace new technologies, maybe before I should. But in this case, I have thought about that, and I have a few things that I just want to bring up as points to think about regarding face recognition and face detection on the software side, not so much on the camera side. Camera side, pretty clear. So first thing, as I use faces in iPhoto and played around with it, Picasa and so forth, you know, the first thing that jumped out at me, is it really saving me time? And to some degree, it made me think back way, way, way back early in my computer career when they would have applications such as you could manage your checkbook using a software application on the computer. I mean, this is way back, right, when this was a big deal. And I remember fiddling around with this application to get it to work right and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it dawned on me one night about 2 in the morning that I could have balanced my checkbook in like a fraction of the time. I mean, manually, I could have balanced my checkbook in a fraction of the time that I was fiddling around with the software. So sometimes new technologies, they're interesting, but they don't exactly live up to their promise of bringing efficiency to our life. And face detection recognition on the software side may be in this category, because I was thinking it is fun to pull together all these shots of different people in iPhoto and the other applications. And I did have some use for it as I started playing with it. But I also, the point that I came out to was that, okay, I'm not really bringing more efficiency to my iPhoto experience. I'm bringing more richness to it. In other words, it was something that was fun to do. It was something that was interesting. Of course, watching the face technology work is interesting in itself. And then having those results, they were nice to have. And I'm not sure how often I'll be building slideshows of this person or that person, but I did like having collections of people that I could just click on. Now, how much I actually use it for something that's really productive, that would be harder without it, I don't know. But what I do know is that it is interesting and I do like having it. So I think my point here is that I think the category that it belongs in for iPhoto in particular is that it enriches iPhoto. It makes it more interesting to me. But I, as an organizational tool, I'm not sure yet what the efficiency is. And if you have thoughts on that, I would love to hear them. And if you go, you know what, I use this and I know that it's saving me X amount of time, I would absolutely love to hear that. And of course, the other way too. So in terms of efficiency, I'm not sure. In terms of adding richness, it does make iPhoto more interesting, absolutely. And there may be a day, doggone it, when I go, man, I am so glad I had this feature, because it would have taken me 3 hours to pull this project together and I was able to do it in 30 minutes. Thank you, Faces. And if that happens to me, then I will definitely let you know through a blog post or something. And then this applies also to the other applications, Facebook, Picasa. Now, on the searching side of the equation in terms of efficiency, I think it is faster, because if you're looking for a photo of someone online and you didn't have that filter, that face recognition filter, then you would get a whole bunch of results that didn't have photos. And then you would have to, you know, kind of work your way through them till you found the results that did have photos, and then, of course, the photos that you want. So I think on the search side, it is more efficient. And it's also, you know, more dangerous, too, because, you know, you can be entered your face can be entered in a database, and then you will be showing up in search results whether you want to or not. But that's a whole nother issue. So I do think it is more efficient for search. Not sure yet about organization. I think the jury's still out there. Now, something to keep in mind, and I sort of just alluded to this, is that with all these different uses of these face technologies on the software side, there are permissions associated with them. You have permissions whenever you share anything out of iPhoto using either the Facebook Connect or using Flickr, or even going up to, you know, MomoMe. You always have permissions as to who can see these and what they can do with them. And so become familiar with those permissions. Same thing with Picasa. Picasa has a lot of permissions associated with it, so that if you identify people in your Picasa web albums, then you can limit who can see them and who can't. So again, I think it's worth paying attention to those permissions, and then also being sensitive to the people that you're identifying, especially if they're not you or in your immediate family where you can just talk to them. I think it's a good idea just to check in with people around, you know, tagging them and having them online and so forth. And I don't need to tell you, but I will mention it anyway, that we have to be super particular and sensitive when it comes to children. So children, and you know, one thing, I mean, Picasa does this, and I like this, especially around last names. So one thing that Picasa allows you to do is that you can have your identifier for a person, and then you can also give it a nickname. And the nickname is what gets published in the Picasa web album, or you can set up so that it does. And I think that's a great idea, because not just for children, but I think really for everyone, unless you're doing something where you have to know precisely that this is Sharon Jones instead of Sharon Smith. But otherwise, if you know, just using nicknames or first names, and especially with children, I think is a pretty good idea. So Picasa does allow you to do that, and it's really worth getting to know what your options are in terms of permissions and in terms of what information is published with a photo if you're tagging it and if you're putting it online. So permissions are important. They're there, and take a look at them. Another thing to think about is accuracy. If you're, and I see this on Facebook, if you're going to be tagging photos of people, especially in other people's albums, make sure you're correct in how you spell their name, and make sure you have the name correct and all that sort of stuff, because you know, nothing worse than a database full of mistakes. And you know, essentially that's what you're building on Facebook or anywhere else on the web. You are contributing to a gigantic database. And even if you're doing it just locally on iPhoto, you want to make sure that your information is correct. So be accurate. Take a moment to double check your work. Make sure that the names are spelled correctly and so forth, so that you're providing a service and not creating a problem for anyone else that may depend on those tags. And then the last thing I think we should think about is using these technologies online versus on our hard drive. And I bring this up in terms of privacy policies. So Google has its policies, Facebook has their policies, and so forth. And so right now, if we're contributing face information, person information, to a Google database, to a Google image database, Google can do certain things with it and certain things it can't. Same with Facebook. They have certain privacy policies. The only thing, and this is where I do get a little skeptical, who's to say that up the road that they won't change their policies? And then who's to say if we can do anything about that? And I don't know the answer to that. I know recently there was a bit of a ruckus around Facebook changing some of its policies, and there was a big uproar, and they ended up kind of backing off on it. But maybe next time they won't. And same thing with Google. We don't really know what Google's going to do. Some people, you know, think they're the next evil empire. I'm not sure I fall into that category. But whenever an entity has as much power and owns as much information as Google does and is continuing to add to it, then there's always, you know, the possibility for misuse. So just think about that. Whereas when you use face detection and face recognition technology, let's say in iPhoto 09, you're just working on your hard drive, and unless you share that information up on Facebook or something, you are in complete control of everything that happens there. So obviously you have a lot more latitude in terms of naming people, in terms of adding information and all that, because you know your plan is to keep it on your hard drive. And unless someone actually steals your computer or finds a way to steal that information, you know, the people in there are protected. And of course, that's a whole nother issue, right? But you know, then if someone steals our computer, quite honestly, we got bigger problems than that, right? So that's another whole nother discussion. But do think about online versus hard drive, and think about how much information, whether it be on Facebook or Flickr or Picasa web albums or anywhere else, how much information are you willing to share online? And then think about it in terms of worst case scenario. Could you live with it if this information were shared beyond the boundaries that you would expect? How would you feel about that? I'm not saying that it'll happen or anything. I am saying that is something worth thinking about. So face detection, face recognition, there really is a lot to it, and we're going to see a lot more. This technology is getting smarter and is being used more and more. And we have it in consumer applications now. They're going to continue to evolve there. And then who knows how it's going to be applied beyond that. So it's worth getting to know it a little bit. I think it's also worth experimenting with it a little bit. Certainly, if you don't want to play with iPhoto, if you're not an iPhoto fan, you can take a look at Picasa. That's available to everyone. And then play around a little bit with Google search on faces and so forth, and see what you think about it. Be educated. And then, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be something that we don't anticipate. Okay, so much for that. Let's talk a little bit about this month's photo assignment, Signs of the Times. And we're getting near the end of the month here. So if you haven't grabbed a shot that you feel sort of represents the signs of the times here, now would be a good time to do it. I really want you to participate in this photo assignment because it feels like something that I want to publish. And then I also want to mention that I am getting a little low on grab shots, so I could use some more. And so if you have something, please send it in, and I promise I'll take a look at it and hopefully even publish it. And I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank Red River Paper, makers of great paper at very affordable prices. Boinks TV, made by Boinks Software. Basically, you have a sophisticated television studio on your Mac that's easy to use. That's really something. And SiteGrinder, the people that make the Photoshop plugin that allow you to design your webshot. Bah! They allow you to design your websites, not your web shops, your websites, in Photoshop and then publish them with great-looking code. It's really an amazing plugin if you haven't taken a look at it. And then also want to thank Think Tank Photo for their participation and support of the site. We got a great group of sponsors. Support them when you can. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I've enjoyed this topic. I hope you have too. I'll be back next week with something interesting, I promise. Until then, go out there and take some shots, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.